That's a beautiful story. Tell me the story of Jesus. I don't know anything more beautiful than that. Anything that touches the hearts of people more than that is the story of Jesus. I don't think it ever gets old either. You can tell it over and over again, and it doesn't grow old. And I was thinking about a young man that I went to see on Christmas Eve. I wanted to visit with him, and they had him locked down in a segregated unit. And he was so glad to see me. There's not a lot of light they have in those cells, and I couldn't go inside and see him. I had to visit him through the little hole that they have. And anyway, he stuck his hand out there, and I shook his hand, and we sat there and visited for a good while, and he was so glad to have somebody to visit with him. And telling about the story of Jesus is just another thing, you know. And there's some times that I don't get a lot of words in. I don't get a lot of things to say to these men. They have a lot of talking they want to do besides, and I listen. Said I've got big ears, so if I can just listen and hear what they're trying to say. And he talked over an hour, and I was so thankful to be able to listen and hear what people are saying and be able to respond to them in a positive way at the end. And there's hope when we have the Lord. And I'm thankful we can take Him wherever we go, and He is the hope of the world. And I'm thankful for that. This morning I'd like to talk to us about sowing seeds. And if we could look in the 126th Psalm, I believe we'll just start reading here. It said, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." What does it take to plant a seed? Who does he need to plant seeds? Well, if he can use me, he can use anybody. If the Lord can find just a vessel to carry the seeds with a willing heart, He's got somebody that, He's got a person that can do some work for Him. If we can have the right attitude and we can carry these precious seeds, there'll be much good accomplished. I'm convinced of that. And I was blessed. It was back in the summer, and I did a little surprise, something for a person that I knew they needed some help, and they wasn't at home, and I thought, well, thank the Lord. That's why I like to do it, when nobody's around. And I did my brush hogging, and I got my old tractor loaded back up, and I was driving off, and they drove in, and they caught me. And I thought, well, you can't say anything now. The work's already done. You can't tell me, no, you don't need to do that. And they were so grateful. And that blessed me. But when I drove down the road just a little ways, the Lord brought that song to my mind. Cups of cold water given in Jesus' name. Cups of cold water are never given in vain. Someday in heaven, when we see the Lord, each deed of kindness will bring a rich reward. Then I thought, you know, that's what we need to be working for, is that final time when the Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you this morning. I don't know what limitations you put on yourself. I don't know anything about you. But I know the Lord is looking this morning for people that are willing to bear His gospel and to take some of these seeds of kindness and give just a cup of cold water to someone. You know, it's so refreshing to go in someone's home, and I hope you're this way. You want to make sure before they leave that you offered them something, that you give them just a little something. You know, even your enemies, we're supposed to bless them. We think, I'd like to do good, and I want to sow these good seeds. Well, sometimes sowing seeds is difficult when it comes to our enemies. And who of us doesn't have a few enemies? But is that going to keep us from doing good? Is that going to stop us from being kind to people when they're not kind? And when people are rough in their exterior? I remember when we were first married, our landlord was the gruffest man. He was so difficult. He was just a very hard person to deal with. And people would trespass on his property. He would point a gun at them. And he was just a real gruff man. He had a little old Rockwell house. And he said, just, you can use that, store your stuff in. And I had the thing just piled with stuff. It wasn't organized. And one day he came out there for some reason, was looking for something, and he got so mad. He was just about to blow up. And he saw me at the wrong time. And he just lit into me, and I had a good scolding, you know, or a scalding. If you ever got scalded where you just felt like you were really, the hide was about to come off. And he really let me have it. And I told him I was sorry for, you know, having things so cluttered up in there. And my wife, I told her about it. And she said, well, let's invite him over to eat. So I went over and knocked on his door. And he came to the door and he looked at me. And he was sizing me. He was looking for a fight. He's thinking I was going to come back. You know, I was going to fight with him. And I said, Mr. Whiteford, my wife wants to have you over for some Mexican food. And he said, the way I talk to you, I never thought you'd speak to me again. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Some of it was my fault. It really was. So I couldn't say, well, poor me. I really got scalded, you know, and you shouldn't have done. But my wife made some good Mexican food. And I went over to get him and was walking with him across the road there to our house. And my wife come running out of the door, and she had one of her moments and had left these tortillas on too long. And it was a smoking dish is all I can say. And we were headed out, and he looked at me and he said, I've been known to not eat things that I don't like. And I said, well, that's fine, Mr. Whiteford. I'm sure, you know, it's just an accident. So I looked and she went like this and threw those tortillas over the fence. And I thought, well, there's one strike here against us going in. But do you know, he sat there and she cooked some of them where she was watching it. And it was a real nice meal. And he was so appreciative of that. And I thought, well, sowing seeds, is it always easy? Is it something that, you know, sowing seeds, it's, you know, it's just going to be when the wind's out of the south, all of us rise to our feet and, oh, we're warmed up and everything is going well and it's time to sow seeds. It's the right temperature. Everything is going our way. We're singing that song, oh, what a beautiful morning. Everything's going my way. And now when I feel good, I'm going to sow seeds. Well, we're going to be a little bit slack when it comes to reaping if we wait for those perfect golden opportunities to sow seeds. In fact, I found that when the wind is blowing sometimes the hardest and when it's the most difficult for us to get up and do things and it looks like we're just almost crippled and paralyzed, and doing things in those moments when it's difficult on the flesh has some of the biggest rewards that I've ever seen. And I think about what happened with him. He calmed down after that, never did have any troubles. In fact, he told me one time, he said, I've got a coconut pie for you. And I thought, whoa, that's one of my favorites. And he started to give it to me and said, I want to give this to you. It made me sick, and I thought about I don't know how much I've gained with him, but it turned out it was good. He just ate way too much of sweet stuff, but he was a man that was difficult to get to. Have you got difficult people in your life? Do you know some difficult people to minister to? Some difficult people that are they're hard. They're people that don't really have much reason about them, and they're very selfish. They're very self-centered. They're hard and difficult to deal with. You know what? If our own natural inclinations have anything to do with it, we're going to avoid those people. We're going to avoid them. We're going to look and mark it off and say, they're not worth messing with. They're not worth my time. But you know, the Lord has reminded me over and over as I think about my dad. He passed away in April, and the Lord, many months before he died, has reminded me that scripture in James, you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And I look at that and I think of the many, many times I've been in the hospitals with my dad, the many things that's happened. One time they tried 7 times, this doctor did, to put a stent in his heart, and he pushed so hard through those veins and he was pushing, and 7 times he'd try a new one and push, and nothing would, he was not able to get that stent in his vein. And I thought, my, this is a terrible thing. And my dad went through all this stuff, and the man told him, said, I was just not able to do it. But you know, the mercies of the Lord, they go so far. And God deals with people, and folks, I've found out, let's not give up. You know, we got to keep going to the very end and bear. And he said, he that beareth, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And also the verse before that says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So it tells us again here this morning, refresh our memory this morning, let's not get weary in well-doing. He said, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. Now, the good thing about living for the Lord that I found out, if we can sow good seeds while we're young, sow good seeds and do good deeds, those things will come around to us over the years. I've seen seeds that were sown that many, many years after they were sown, there was something pop up way, way down the road. A person that had you invest something in, there is always some returns out of that. And investing in people, if we don't invest a little time or prayers or something in people, you know, we very likely won't get much back. But when we invest something in someone, you know, when you invest something, and I don't know all the stock market and everything and investing and all that, but I know that if you put some money into some account, you're anxious to see what it will get back. You're anxious to see, oh, did that make anything? It's the same with people. It's the same thing with people. If we take the time to invest in people, there'll be some returns that come out of that. You're interested in it. You don't want them to go down. You think, my, I've invested something in them. I went to visit them. I went to see them when they were in trouble. I remember a young boy that was going to jail, and he was going to go to prison, actually. He was going to spend several years there. And I thought, you know, what would a person like that need? What could you do to help a person like that? And the thought came to me, what would you like? And I thought, a big old steak. I thought, well, I'll just do that. I went and got some real good cuts of meat and different things there, and took over to his house and gave to him. And you know, I forgot about that. It many years passed and didn't even think about it. It's gone. But when he got out of prison, he never forgot that. And he came to me and said, you remember that time you bought me that real good meal? Said, oh, yeah, I get. And I got thinking, and it all came back to me then. Yeah, I remember. Folks, it's a cup of cold water. It's a little seed. it's an opportunity. Seeds are opportunities. And I pray the Lord will help us today. I don't want to miss on those little opportunities. And I know they're all around us. And I know we can get overwhelmed. And all you think, well, I'm poor and I don't have any money. I can't buy people this or that. But you know, a little phone call or a little visit sometimes is a good little seed to plant. When we sow in tears, we're going to reap in joy. And I thought about what the saints are doing. You know, I'm encouraged what the people of God are doing. There are some good things that they're doing. And I've heard about them. I was talking to one brother telling me about visiting nursing homes, and they're having little Bible studies, and others are doing little things around the neighborhood and helping people. I thought, that's it. That's it. If we can keep going. I'm not saying we're saved by works at all. Please don't understand. That's not my message. I'm not saying we're saved by works, but I want to tell you, works follow the people of God. Their works, it follows them. And sowing seeds is our business. We are in the business of sowing seeds this morning. This is the people of God. This is our work. This is our purpose being here. We are in the business of sowing seeds. And I want to encourage your heart this morning, however big your basket is, however big your capabilities, wherever God has placed you, let's be faithful in those areas. I want to read to you in the book of Ecclesiastes here that I've read this so many different times, but he says here in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the first verse, he says this: "You cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Cast your bread upon the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Now, it goes on to say, give a portion to seven and also to eight. Don't be stingy. Don't be slack in holding out. Just barely. One man had a description. He said, you know, that person was so tight they'd rub a buffalo off a nickel. They just rubbed that. Well, it was a pretty good description. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. Seven is a complete number. To me, eight is going beyond what is reasonable, beyond what everybody else is doing. You know, folks, I really believe saints they're superb people. And they're people that look not just for the first mile, but it's the second mile people. The first mile people are people is probably just normal people that are maybe living in the fleshly way. But a second mile person has to be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't know any other way to say it. But a second mile person is what God's looking for. That's a place all of us today should be in. As a body of Christ, we should all be, Lord, I want to be a second mile Christian. I want to be that person that not just goes by my instinct. And, you know, my dad told me for years, said, we're going fishing. We're going to go. And, you know, the weather's got to warm up a little bit. And daddy loved 70 degree days and no wind. And you don't do it in Oklahoma very often. So many times opportunities was gone. I've been fishing in a downpour with thunder and lightning, and we were catching fish. I love to fish. I hadn't been hardly all year long, but I would love. Opportunities sometimes present themselves in such difficult circumstances. But Lord, help us today. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. And he said, you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. And he said, and the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. We have limited time. The tree's not going to stand forever. In our time, it's limited. We have opportunities. We have windows of opportunities that come our way. Those windows of opportunity, sometimes I've seen them come this fast. You either are ready when the opportunity comes and the window closes. I've seen it that almost that fast. If we, and Lord help me, as I get older, I think, Lord, I'm not able to pick up sometimes on things. I'm not as perceptive as I should be. Help me, Lord, to see when that window opens and know when to go in and know how to sow that seed. You see, he said, "In it is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth." It's good that we learn when we're young how to recognize windows of opportunities that come our way. Things that happen when you're young, and you realize you're very perceptive when you're young. It's good you learn to bear the yoke in your youth because you pick up a skill. And you're able to perceive things sometimes that if you've learned that while you're young, you can use it when you get old. The Lord's not just slack, though, with using young people. He can use older people. But sometimes it's good that a man has learned to bear the yoke in his youth. You learn to be perceptive. He said, the tree's going to fall. And where it falls and how you've lived and I've lived and how many seeds we've sown and how willing we were to press against the flesh and all, it's going to tell the tale one of these days. Where the tree falls, he said, there it shall be. Have we been people that have been strictly motivated by the flesh? We've been carnal in our ways. Are we self-sufficient? Are we conceited? I was thinking this week about being conceited. He said there's more hope of a fool than for a person that is conceited. There's more hope for a fool than a person to be wise in their own conceits. Are we good listeners today? Can we hear what the Lord is trying to say to us? Sowing seeds is so important to us. It's important not just for us, for future generations. They look and see, yeah, there was Dad. There was Dad. He didn't get along with anybody. He didn't get along very well with anybody. There he is. Or there's Dad. Look at the things he's done. Look, there's Mom. There's the type of person they were. How could you ever follow after behind them? How could you ever do the things? How are you ever going to match what they've done? It's only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. I believe this morning there's a lot of more good seeds that the Lord wants us to sow. And this morning, I can just see the Lord just saying, I've got so many seeds. I just need faithful people to carry them. I just need people that have just a little bit of ambition, that have just a little bit of desire to do something. Oh, the Lord will lead us, folks, into ways we've never dreamed of. Now look at the fourth verse. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. We're pretty good weather forecasters, I've noticed. Pretty good weather forecasters. Well, you want to go over there? No, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. Oh, it's a little bit cold today. You know, on that hip, or that arm, that arthritis. Oh, gets to hurting. And you know, I know getting older is not fun, and it's not for sissies. And sometimes that's predominant on our mind. Oh, I don't want to. No, I'm not going to do that today. But you know, there's good seeds. I'm going to read on down here. Remember, give a portion to seven and also to eight. Now, who's he talking to? He says, now, he that observeth the wind is not going to sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. There's a sowing time and a reaping time. And he says, also, thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of him, of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. There are things that we do not understand. A lot of things we don't understand. We can't see it. And sometimes if we can't see it, it's hard for us to visualize what we're talking about. But we know there is a baby that is inside the mother's womb, that she's getting larger, and there is a little precious baby there. It's getting bigger. We can't see it, but we know it's there. It's the same way with sowing. This morning, if we're just visually oriented and we have to see things, and people, have you ever had people come up and go, "Well, this $10 right here, I want you to take this, and this goes to this certain spot." Now, that's the way it goes. Well, I know designated funds have a way. There's things about that. But you know, there's times that we just give and say, "May the Lord bless and work this out to the glory of God. However it's needed, however the thing it works out, I just want you to feel the freedom. However it is, just work it out to the glory of God." That's the best way sometimes to do it. Well, I'm not talking about finances this morning. I'm just talking about sowing seeds. I'm talking about having a vision for it. And also, we don't always have to see the end of things. I thought about William Tyndale. I was reading about him the other day. His desire to get the English language into the hands of common people. His desire to get that and translating from the Latin and putting things in English. And for all of those efforts, it looked like now it was going to be gone. And as they tied him up and they put him to that stake and they put all that dry wood around him and lit that, his last words, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." He sowed seeds to the very end. 40 years later, this king is having these Bibles printed, and his eyes were opened. You think about sowing seeds. When is it over? Well, William Tyndale, the Lord spoke to me one time. I was reading, not this last time, but I was reading about him before, and said, "I was there. I was there when they burned him. I was there." I tell you this morning, don't give up. Even at the very end, who knows what's going to prosper? Who knows in your lifetime what is going to prosper, your beginning or your end? We really don't know. You don't know which way the bones do grow. You can't see it, but we know it's there. This morning, if you tend to be a visually oriented person, men are that way, but if you tend in your spiritual life, you just want to see everything. You want to see it all mature and come to fruition in your lifetime. You're going to be disappointed. We need to sow in hope and sow in faith and believing. You know, this can keep going on. Now, what did he say in this sixth verse? "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." In the morning, when you're young, sow the seed. And when you get old, when you get down to the end, keep sowing seed. You don't know which one's going to start producing. The main thing I want to encourage us with here today, the seed is available. God has everything that we need. Let's not be unwilling. Let's not be people that balk. Let's just take the seed and start sowing. We don't know what's going to prosper, either this or that. Difficult times, sure, they come. They come. I remember, and I've told this so many times, and you all probably heard it here too, but it's impressed me. My father-in-law was broke down in the desert, got run off the road, and was there in an old van, and they jacked the van up in the desert and put the thing in gear, and these Mexican people that was with my dad wound a rope around the tire, and all of them pulled and started that old panel truck in the desert, in sand, in a stuck condition with a dead battery. We would, today some of us think, well, AAA will be here. Yep, they're going to be coming. No, they're not coming out there. There's no AAA. It's up to creativity. It's up to the mercies of the Lord. Y'all ever started your vehicle with a rope? You think, no. We start our lawnmowers with ropes, but not our cars. My father-in-law started one, and he's right there. he's probably ducking his head and say, oh, you missed part of that story. I probably did, but the main thought is don't give up. When you're sowing seed and you've got something, don't stop. There's a lot of obstacles, folks, that's against us. There's a lot of things, and you start off and you have a big cup full of seeds, and the devil comes along and you think, what happened? I was really on fire for God, and all of a sudden it just looked like everything was taken away from me. It was all gone, and I started off and I had a good heart and I had everything going, and all of a sudden everything that I have just blown away from me. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. The Lord has a way of caring for His people. He has a way, and you don't know which is going to prosper. You're thinking this handful over here is prospering. The Lord said, no, it's that one seed that's caught up in your sleeve that you don't even know is there. That's the one I want to use. And we're thinking, I have all of these, and boy, Lord, I'm so excited. And He said, no, it's that one that's tucked up inside there that I want to use. How important is it? You know, when I think about the Wesley family that started off in John and Charles, a large family, you know, someone could say, oh, there's enough children, you know, and who knows, there's already enough of them than people, but they had more children. And here these two brothers that came out of a large family, the things that the songs that they wrote, composed all kinds of songs and so many hymns and poems. One time their dad said, if you say one more thing in a poetry way, I'm going to whip you. And he's the son, I wish I could quote what he said, but he said, oh, father, do not spank me for I would hurt or something. And it was just part of them. They were sowing seeds. And how much today have we reaped from our forefathers today? I look at all of those before us that have been so faithful. John Bunyan, 12 years in that Bedford jail, wrote 11 books. What kind of seed sowing? And at the time in 1666 that he was in there, there was a bubonic plague, 150,000 or so. That was one encyclopedia said that died in that plague then at that time, but I've heard many more than that. But the bubonic plague was going on, and John Bunyan was there in jail. Now, you think on the outside of all the conditions that were present, what do you think it was like on the inside? No lighting, damp, stink, the all of the filth. And here was a man in there writing the Pilgrim's Progress and other books, many other things. He came out of that jail and he said, I'm going to preach. I'm not going to stop preaching. And he would have crowds of over 1,200 people come. And some of the people that were the great orators of the time said, I'd give anything if I could preach like that tinker does. That little tinker had been there in the jail. He'd been down there. He was faithful to God. He was sowing seeds. I'm telling you, we have a rich history this morning of faithful people. There's a rich history that we have of people that were godly and they were willing to sow seeds. I look sometimes at some of the things that we have today is because of godly people in our past. There's been people that have been willing to share, willing to sow seeds. That's why we have so many things today that we have. Let's not forget how it came about. Now, we can't stop just because there's a flywheel effect. You know, when motion gets started, it doesn't just stop all of a sudden. It continues on for a while. You build a house in New Mexico and the flywheel effect of having thick walls and the sun coming out so many days a year, it warms those walls. It'll keep that warm part of the nighttime. Before it starts going, the temperature starts dropping. That warmth of the day carries it through the night. This morning, there's also that in the church. We need to be careful because you can ride just so long on the warmth of former generations. There's that part then all of a sudden it starts slowing down. And I feel like that's where we're at today. I really feel like that we have to pick up and we have to keep continuing on to see this keep going on to the next generation. Seed sowing is so important today. It is our life. It's our future. One place in the Psalms, he said, walk about Zion, tell her towers, mark her bulwarks, that you may tell it to the generation following. Sowing seeds, folks, is so important to us today. And he said, do it in the morning. And he said, when you get in the evening of your life, the evening time, keep sowing. Don't stop when you get old. Don't stop and think, well, it's all over for me. I can't do anymore. William Tyndale didn't stop. John Bunyan didn't stop. Nobody that I know of ever stopped. They kept going on. They kept going on and sowing seeds. When I read about Noah and it said the eighth person, they was counting him as he was going in. He is the last one. I believe he was there at the very door saying, please, folks, you can see there's it's going to happen. Please get in. He was the eighth one. Finally, it was, the Lord shut the door. Noah, you've done it all that you can do. And then he reaped some of his rewards by being able to float. And I think this morning it's important to us that we have enough seed that we've sown that we can float. You know what I mean? We need grace. We need help today. We need to be able to withstand the evil time that we're in. And if we don't have a heart of sowing, we'll find ourselves lacking. We reap what we sow, don't we? We reap more than we sow. We reap in a different season. We reap where we sow also. Lord, help us today. He said here, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. This is the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Oh, how important it is to have a little reserve. Sometimes we wait till we get to the very end of our life and we get serious about it. I think, oh my, I'm not having much returns. Things are not happening like they should. And I wonder what happened to my time. Maybe I spent so much time in seeking that career over here and the thing that I've really wanted to be. And I sought after these nice things, the finer things of life. And in doing all those things, I got caught up, like we heard some last night. We got caught up with the cares of life and got on the wrong road. And now I'm seeing that, oh no, my life, I've wasted so much of my life, and now it's gone. It's gone. What do I have to show for it? Where's all the effort and everything I got? Well, sure, I've got some of these things, and they're nice to be. They're comforting to be around. I don't have to worry like other people do. And I've applied myself, and I've been diligent. I want to say to us this morning, Lord, help us to keep things in proper perspective. Keep it in perspective and put things. And I'm trying myself to do that. Folks, we have a job on our hands. It's a struggle. But I don't want to come before Him and Him say, where's the talent that I gave you? You know, the one man, he said, I knew you was a hard man. I knew you was difficult to get along with, and I went and I hid your talent in the earth, and here's that which you came. There's nothing shorted. It's here you go. It's what you had to begin with. And he said, thou wicked, slothful servant, you knew. If you were saying I was such a hard man, I'm going to judge you by your own words. Why didn't you take what I gave you and put it out to the exchangers that at my coming I could have had a little profit? I'm going to judge you by your own words. Lord, help us today to see how important it is that we sow seeds and we're people that are efficient. I'm going to tell you again, self-centeredness, self-righteousness and all that won't get us anywhere. And being consumed with the spirit of the times, that won't help us. And looking at the wind and all the obstacles, that won't help us either. Lord, help us to dig down and mold our way into the kingdom of God if necessary. You know what it means to be a mold. You get down and you crawl. And you get down and you dig. And you might have to eat some roots. You might have to get down and you might have to not be seen. I don't really care as long as I get there. If I have to be a mole, if I have to humble myself to get in, that's all right. I just want to be there. Not all of us are going to be seen anyway. I tell you, there's some of the best seed sowers that are never seen. They're hardly ever seen. I have a high regard for some very precious folks. It was very special to me in my life. Sister Dollins was one of them, and we first moved to Springfield, and one of our first winters there, and she invited us over to her house, and she cooked up pumpkin pies, pecan pies, cake, cookies, all kinds of, and we sat there that evening in her little kitchen, and we had a meal for our little family. And then when we left, she loaded us up with boxes, a box of pies and things, and she wanted us to have that. She was just that, such a giving person. And it really, it touched me. Sowing seeds, we're looking at thinking about, okay, it's that $25,000 that I'm going to give. That is the, and if I give that, that means more than anything. No, it's that pumpkin pie. It's that small thing that you've done with love that counts. You didn't have it. You didn't have a lot of those things, but you gave. You done what you could. Heaven is going to be rich with people that have sown good seeds for the Lord. There's going to be a whole heaven full of people that were self-sacrificing and they love God and they had the work of the Lord at heart. I remember Brother Carver told me, and I believe I can say this now because Brother Carver and Sister Jordan both are gone. Sister Jordan, in some hard times, gave Brother Carver $100 bill. And she said, "This is for the field." I went to school in Okmulgee. And I would see Sister Jordan on the campus handing out tracts. She walked. Now, some of you never knew her. But I want to tell you, there was a precious child of God. Some of you knew her better. You're here and knew her better than I did. But what I know of her, she saw me one time and she didn't have her glasses on. And she said, "When are you going to get back to the Lord?" And I said, "Well, Sister Jordan, I haven't left." And she looked at me. She said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else." She was that way. One brother was working for the telephone company, was up on a telephone pole. And when he got down from the telephone pole, he found this track in his windshield. And guess who came? It was Sister Jordan. Sister Lizzie Jordan. She never got tired of sowing seeds. And where did she make enough money to have $100? And this was in hard times to give to Brother Carver. He told me about that. Some of you might know that, but he told me that. Lord, help us today. It's not in some big bank account. The Lord's looking. He's looking this morning for just vessels, just people that are common people that are willing to carry good news to people. I appreciate the Sanchez that are working, brother and sister Sanchez, working there in a difficult, difficult place. And I read their letter and I see all of the things going on, the threats in their life and all the things. I think, Lord, bless them. That's a difficult field to be in. Very difficult. Very difficult. And I think helping people in general is hard. I remember I was in the jail and I was teaching a class one day, and this guy came to me and said, I want to talk to you. And he had something very serious to talk to. I said, well, and I visited with him, shared some things with him. And he came back the next week and he said, hey, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. So after class, I was waiting for something. I was trying to have scriptures and things, and I was trying to get all geared up. And he said, you know, your sideburns are uneven. And I said, okay, I'll take care of that. That's all he wanted to say to me. I thought he was going to be serious about something. It was really something spiritual. And they'll disappoint you sometimes, and people will say things, and I've heard so much bad language and so many things, but you know what? I was carrying my books in one day, and the Lord came by and blessed me. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And people have asked me, well, what good has it done? You know, where's the fruits of all your labors? I don't know. And different people and some of the guards said, do you think what you're doing is doing any good? And I said, I don't know. But I know there's been a lot of tears that I have seen shed. A lot of people that have prayed. And hopefully, one of these days, if I'm faithful, I might just see one there. If I see one of them there, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth the trials. It'll be worth the miles. All of our struggles, all of our everything, it'll be as nothing. It'll just be as nothing. And if I think and keep it in the proper perspective, Lord, this is the work you want us to do. Not everybody can go in there. Not everybody, and that's fine. I'm encouraged this morning, really seeing the momentum. I see the people of God. There's some things building. We're interested in sharing the gospel. And I want to encourage you today. Don't let your hand become slack and don't get discouraged just because you've lived in the same place for years and you don't have much fruit to show. The question is today, are you still sowing seeds? And if you are, then there's something wonderful about that, because they'll come back. They'll come back to us. Maybe not in this life. And if that's where you're looking for the returns to come, where people applaud and everything is one, you'll be disappointed. But oh, if we've had that heart to keep sowing. And that's what I want to encourage you, from the youngest to the oldest. Amen. Keep going. Keep plowing. It looks like we're just in some real stony places sometimes. And you think, my, nothing can grow out here where I'm at. How can anything grow where I'm at? This hard-hearted, plowed over, burnt over field looked like just nothing at all. But you know what? The Lord wants us to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Be faithful unto death. Don't worry about doing these big things. Remember, it's that seed that's got stuck in your shirt. It's down in your cuff that you've been carrying for years. That's the one. And He's just waiting for it to go to the cleaners and fall out. And who knows? The bottom line is, I don't care who gets the glory. And if we have that attitude, that means so much. Oh, if we have the attitude, this is my kingdom. I planted all these vineyards and I've done all these things and everything here is mine. The only man I know said those things. The Lord smote him and he grew feathers like a bird and ate out for 7 years. Maybe wasn't that old Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, and another one was struck down dead. All the things that he had done this morning, we're not here to get glory. We're not in the business for all this to come back and all of you look at me. I don't believe that's what the Lord, he wants to get the glory. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. This morning, I want to encourage your hearts. Keep sowing. Keep plowing. You got to plow in hope. You got to sow in hope. And remember, Paul said, there's one that sows and one that waters, but it's God that gives the increase. And when the Lord is lifted up and when He is, we're working together. There's a key here. Working together. You might say, I'm the only one that has this certain kind of seed. Nobody else has got it but me. And I'm the only one that can do this. You all step aside. It's just me. Let me plant my seed. I'm the only one that can carry it, don't you see? It's just me. An independent attitude won't work. We have to be willing. We're workers together with God. And that's a key ingredient. I'm workers together. I can't do it on my own. We need the help of each other. That's the key. If we can work together, we can accomplish things for God. If we become independent and we become just self-sufficient, we can't do very much. We're very limited. How can the Lord bless us if we don't show that we're part of His body? We need each other today. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I believe it's the togetherness and working together that we get things done. Many times just one person struggling and trying, it doesn't work very well. But when we get help, our help comes from the Lord. When we get it and other people see it, I think about Nehemiah's vision that he had. He had a vision that wall be built. His heart was burdened, but he didn't go do it on his own. He said, listen, I can lay brick and I can build these walls and I can put these hinges on here. He incorporated the help of other people of like mind. And the Bible said the people had a mind to work. And some of them carried a spear in one hand and they carried their tools to lay the block and to work their hammers and whatever in the other hand. They were there and they were willing to work. The people had a mind to work. The end result was the wall got built. The wall was done. The goal was accomplished. Together, we can do good things, great things. We need to work together with God and go hand in hand with Him, and He'll do good things for us. May the Lord bless us today. Cast your bread upon the waters, and it will return after many days. And He said again in Psalms there to He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And a cup of cold water, just a cup of cold water, just the smallest of things given in Jesus' name, it amounts to a whole lot. I want to encourage your hearts today. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't be weary with all the pressures and everything of life. And the bottom line is I want to sow seeds. I want to keep going for the Lord. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. And when we do, there's going to be some good results. Let's pray for each other. Amen.